You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's a good morning and welcome back to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. You know, we are always looking for interesting conversations right here on the Valley of Praise, things that can add value to our walk, in our Christian walk as Christians. And this morning on the line, we have got Dr. Mjabuli Jamela, who is a humanitarian worker in and has gone to different countries practicing humanitarian work. And one of the things that he has also done is that during his work as in this field, he was also seconded, or I don't know whether to say seconded, as a pastor within the Adventist Church. And he had also the experience of writing a book, which they then put through AI. And the book has not been published. And so, you know, as I've said, AI, we are discussing AI in this morning, and we want to discover more about AI and Bible study and AI and the church. But first things first, good morning to you, Dr. Jamela, and welcome to the Veil of Praise.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Before we get into this discussion, how has been your travel around the world doing your humanitarian work? How has been your experience in terms of culture, in terms of worship?
Thank you very much. So I've worked in a couple of countries, and mostly majority countries. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great journey of discovery how different things are perceived in different cultures. Mm-hmm. And some things that are normal to us, mm-hmm, are frowned at in those different cultures. In terms of worship, there is some context where I've been able to worship really, but in some contexts, Christianity is banned, mm, according to the laws of the country. So yeah, that has been my experience, mm, in a nutshell. Mm.
And do you think that in your journey around the world in these Muslim countries, it has added value to your Christian work?
Yes, thank you indeed. I mean, every country you go to, mm, present its own sets of challenges, but within those challenges, there are also experiences and learnings.
Yeah.
And for me, I've met some people, like some faithful Christians that are working or worshiping, mm, in hiding in some of these contexts, mm, which has helped me to question my faith.
Yeah.
Coming from a country that has got religious liberty, and then how we take it for granted. And yeah, then you go into a country where they can be arrested for worshiping God, mm, but they still worship God in secret, in hiding. And that has been eye-opening to me and has impacted on my faith greatly.
Mm. And, you know, this last year, I actually was reading the Quran, and in actual fact, I was reading it on air. I was reading some verses from the Quran during the Ramadan. And I found some of the verses very insightful and very empowering and similar to our own Bible verses. I don't know if you've had the opportunity of experiencing such.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very great and interesting discovery for every Christian, mm, when you realize that one of the core core pillars of Islam, mm, are the first five books of the Bible, the books of law.
Yeah.
And when you realize that the only woman mentioned by name in the Quran,
yeah,
is Mary, mother of Jesus.
Oh.
So there is a lot of interesting issues, places that we can build on, mm, as we try to minister in those some of them unreached areas, mm, to in Christianity, because there is some common touch points that we can build up on.
Mm, I know, that's powerful. And I was telling the director in the secretariat there to say I also want to read the Quran this year again during the Ramadan, because I actually enjoyed myself, and hopefully they will give me that to do once again this year. But anyway, we are talking about artificial intelligence and the church. That's our conversation this morning. And I don't know, what is AI? What do you understand AI to be?
Thank you. I think it's good to start from the beginning. And I mean, for many people, they think AI is a recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
But the term AI, artificial intelligence, has been in use since 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen this artificial intelligence evolve over time. We moved from artificial intelligence, the term in general, in the 1950s. In the 80s, we moved to machine learning, where machines are learning from historical data.
Right.
And then we, in the 2010s, where we had the age of deep learning, where machine learning models are trying to mimic the human learning experience.
Okay.
And most recently, I think, is what most people would define as AI, is generative AI, where these deep learning models have been able to evolve and be able to create original content. They can make paintings, they can make videos, they can even write essays. This is where maybe most people started to get concerned, to say, where are we going with this? And that's generally if I can define AI in layman's terms.
Okay. And looking at its usage, what was, and I'm very surprised when you say AI was actually first invented or created in 1950s, because one would have thought it's something that actually happened in the thousands. So I'm very surprised by that. But what was it created for? What was its usage for? And what has been added as the years have gone by?
Yeah. Thank you. So like I said, basically when the term was developed, they were trying to have human intelligence to be exhibited by machines so that machines can do some of it.
Okay.
And speaking today in 2025, you realize that AI is there in our everyday life. You realize that sometimes our doctors, for their diagnosis, risk predictions, sometimes for our prognosis, they are using AI. Our banking industry to detect fraud, for those credit scores that we do for us to get our loans, investment advice, AI is being used behind the scenes. I think we all use Google Maps or the equivalent in the in the Apple phones. And that's an AI. That's an AI that's operating that behind the scenes. In education, in more developed countries, they've personalized education schemes where they are able to personalize the students' learning based on their style of preference. Universities have issued ethical guidelines for use of AI because AI is capable of writing assignments. Facial recognition, I'll give an example of a country like China. If driving through your car, in your car, the AI can recognize who was driving that car, and is the government is able to see what is happening everywhere. So, and most recently, I think there's something called chatbots. I hope everyone knows chatbots. Well, websites and companies have chatbots where you can ask about their services and it replies you. That's AI in use. So I think as we discuss about this, it's good for our listeners to understand that AI is there and we are familiar with it. We've been living with it for the past couple of decades.
Powerful. But then the, for me, you mentioned the name ethics there when you were talking. The when it comes to governance, and I don't know whether in the 1950s or in the 80s, governance would have been put in and around AI. But I think that at this day and age that we live in, governance then becomes quite a key element in how AI is used. And I don't know, what are your, what's your understanding around governance of AI?
Thank you. I mean, if you look at the capacity of AI when it started, the 1950s, its capacity was limited. Mostly it was analyzing the data that already exists and all that. But as we move to AI becoming, having a mind of its own, if I may say, being able to work on its own, then it raises a lot of ethical concerns. It raises a lot of ethical issues. And then this brings about the issue of AI governance, which is an ongoing discussion, as we can say.
Yeah.
Because it is an ongoing discussion because AI is rapidly evolving.
Yeah.
And talks about oversight mechanisms mm-hmm. to reduce the risks, making putting laws or guides that make AI to work within ethical frameworks,
yeah.
so that humanity may be preserved, human culture may be preserved.
Mm.
So AI governance is a multi-stakeholder a conversation or discourse
yeah.
that helps to ensure that AI aligns with society values and also tries to protect humanity from the ills that may arise
mm.
from AI itself or from the abuse of AI.
Yeah, and yeah, you talk about abuse or how it's used, my understanding of AI is that these are algorithms that have been drawn up and data sets that, you know, I'm just putting it high level without going deeper into detail of how AI is structured, and in my thinking is that artificial intelligence, which then now uses algorithms. Are we not then using AI following somebody else's philosophy, somebody else's thinking? And if we are using somebody else's philosophy, who then governs that? Because I'm thinking around governance. And so if the government is, let's say it's socialist in its thinking, or the sector or the society, whoever is developing it, is communist in its thinking, then are we not at risk in terms of governance? Are we not at risk of adopting somebody else's philosophies?
Yeah, I think you raise a very critical concern, which is also a key concern amongst the scholars, amongst the users, amongst the general populace.
Yeah.
To say, how is this governed?
Yeah.
Are we making sure that the outputs
mm-hmm.
of this AI are safe for our children?
Yeah.
Are safe for our users and all that?
Mm-hmm.
So it leaves a very difficult gap.
Yeah.
Because the people that are coding
mm-hmm.
do not probably share the same set of ethical values.
Exactly.
That hold. Maybe as an African,
mm-hmm.
as an dentist.
Yeah.
So then it then opens up the space for a lot of dangers.
Yeah.
This is why when we talk AI governance, we are looking at bringing many stakeholders together.
Mm-hmm.
It could be policymakers, academia, people from the social sciences. It could also those companies that control the big Silicon Valley companies that control that space.
Yeah.
But we also have to accept that the different stakeholders have different interests.
Yeah.
So this then causes a conflict.
Yeah.
So what if this policy, this governance is an ongoing discourse, it might not suffice
yeah.
to cover your concerns for your children.
Mm.
It might not suffice to cover your concern as a person.
Yeah.
So at least we advocate and we push for AI governance. We should also realize that there will be limitations.
Mm.
As you rightfully said, I mean, unfortunately in our world, sometimes money pays its way through.
Yeah.
Out,
yeah.
Right?
Mm.
So your interest to your child
yeah.
and the interest of the AI provider might be divorced.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. More financial muscle, mm. they can then influence how this AI governance is going to unfold.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is many examples globally
mm.
where we realize that, for example, I'll speak about a few.
Mm.
Facebook is gathering people's data.
Yeah.
And then we hear that some of these companies sell them and all that.
Yeah.
But so those are some of the dangers also inherent. So AI governance is a very dynamic and very difficult space.
Mm.
And I think that even if we come up with the guidelines as humans, they would not suffice
mm.
to cover my individual concerns.
Right.
They might cover group concerns, but concerns will still. So which means we have to think even more about it
mm.
as a unique group, a people, a culture, a religious group, a family, and as individuals.
So in essence, Dr. Jamela, you are saying that even if the church decides, or any Christian or faith movement decides to adopt or incorporate AI into its, whether it's worship or its administration, there should be a governance policy in and around AI.
Affirmative. I'm a strong campaigner. For ethical frameworks around governance. Mm-hmm. The government will do based on the secular nature of the government, the stakeholders at that level. Mm-hmm. But as a church, we need guidance and an ethical framework that then directs our use of AI. Mm-hmm. I mean, church has many concerns. I speak this as a church member. People are asking, if you're reading on social media, one day, will I come to church? And find that the pastor is sitting or the preacher is not on stage. It's AI-generated sermon with the AI-generated pastor, AI-generated topic, AI everything. And then that raises other questions again. While this might seem to be academically and well-structured in terms of this AI sermon, hypothetical that I'm talking about. But how then does the Holy Spirit influence algorithms? Trust AI 100%? Should I replace humans? Will it lead to the end of the world? Can I do AI on a Bible study? These are the questions that people are asking. And having that ethical framework then will help to address especially the ethical concerns that humans have. And having that guidelines will then guide how the church adopts this technology and how, even as families, we protect, because we need to know its limitations and its strengths so that we are able to protect.
You know, when you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, hey, how we quote the spirit of prophecy. We say Patriots and Prophets, page 570, paragraph 3. One day we might be sitting and somebody says, according to AI, training model, whatever, paragraph, what. I'm telling you, one of these days we will get those quotations.
I mean, these are the realities of our time, and it's good that we are having this conversation today and at this time, so that we are able to conscientize ourselves and be prepared for this rapidly evolving technology.
And I guess before we go into the second half of our discussion, it begs the call to understand how AI is developed and structured, because in AI there are different types of models, and those models are trained to behave in a certain way. And I think it therefore calls for all parties involved who are going to use AI, who are going to develop a policy and governance frameworks, to get an understanding of how AI is developed and how it is trained.
Yes. I mean, like all other technologies, AI can advance our Christian experience, but it can also militate against our Christianity. So then becomes our responsibility in our different positions as head of families, as church members, as church leaders, as individuals as well, to try and understand how this functions. Because in understanding how it functions, you then understand the limitations, you then understand the dangers, and also you understand the opportunities that are inherent this technology.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Dr. Jamela, who is a humanitarian by profession, but has also served as a pastor before and has also written a book, participated in the writing of a book, which was then fed to AI to then, but this book has not been published because they're still going through certain things to just make sure that it aligns with our doctrinal beliefs. So we're talking about AI and we're trying to understand what AI is all about. Can we use it within a church setting, within a Christian setting? What If I walk into church one day and I see an AI-generated video sermon, where will the Holy Spirit be in all this? So we're trying to understand these things. And if you have got your thoughts that you want to share with us, please do feel free to WhatsApp us on our WhatsApp number. That's +27734703520. Tell us what you understand or what you think about AI.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.